السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وكفى، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن هدى للناس وبينات من الهدى والفرقان، وقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: إنا أنزلناه في ليلة القدر وما أدراك ما ليلة القدر، ليلة القدر خير من ألف شهر، صدق الله العظيم. علماء الكرام، most respected brothers, it is the month of Ramadan and it is the fazl of Allah Ta'ala, it is His ihsan upon us that He gave us the opportunity to be alive in this month of Ramadan, so that we may seek forgiveness for our sins and so that we may become the recipients of Jannah. In the month of Ramadan, you will repeatedly hear the ayat of the Quran Sharif: Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu kutiba alaykumus siyam kama kutiba ala alladhina min qablikum la'allakum tattaqoon. Now this ayat will be heard repeatedly throughout the month of Ramadan. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala prescribed fasting upon you as He prescribed on those before you. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, so that you may learn self-restraint, so that you may become muttaqi. Now that is the message of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. All the other benefits of fasting, they are secondary. The purpose of making fast compulsory is لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. Sometimes people spend hours and hours and they write volumes on the benefits of fasting, and all those benefits are only related to the body. That what are the benefits to the human body if a person has to fast? Now there's no doubt there are huge amount of benefits. In less eating, there's great benefit. One of the major causes of our sicknesses and diseases is the filling of our bellies. We overfill them and then we don't do the necessary exercise. So it's going to cause sicknesses and diseases. People have written so much about the benefits of eating less. Imam Ghazali Rahmatullah Alayh, read his Ahya'ul Ulum and see how much of benefits he has given. But of course, in these days our mashayikh say that because we are weak, we do not have the strength of the people of the past, so we should not read those kitabs and then try to emulate and follow the examples of those people who lived on a few morsels of food. If we are going to do that, then we'll end up in the Qabristan. So that was for those people. But at least we should not be overeating. Whilst eating, there comes a time when the person now has to decide whether he should go on eating or he should withdraw. Whilst you are eating, there comes a time when the person now has to think that, must I carry on eating or must I now stop? In other words, he is full. His stomach is now full. What he is now doing is filling his eyes. There are two cavities that he fills. One is the stomach and the cavity of the eye. As far as the stomach is concerned, it's now full. But the eyes don't get full. So the person will then go on eating until it comes up to his throat. Now that is what causes all the sicknesses, diseases and problems. So there's no doubt there are great amount of benefits in fasting with regards to the human body and the physical body. There's great amount of benefits. And there's nothing wrong in discussing those benefits also. But we must not forget the major purpose. Why did Allah Ta'ala make this fast obligatory? Allah Ta'ala says, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, so that you may become muttaqi. so that you may restrain yourselves from everything that is haram, that is forbidden, that is sinful. And when you are going to do that, then you will get wilayat. When we are going to restrain ourselves from haram, then we will get wilayat. We will get the friendship of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Ala inna awliya Allah la khawfun alayhim wa la hum yahzanun. Alladheena amanu wa kanu yattaqun. So the two sifats of wilayat Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala mentioned, the people who believed and they have a muttaqi, they have taqwa in their lives. Then they will have no fear, no grief, no sorrow, no worry. At the time of death also they will be given basharat, glad tiding. Ya ayyatuhan nafsul mutmainna irji'i ila rabbiki radhiyatan mardiyya fadkhuli fi ibadi wadkhuli jannati. So this taqwa is the purpose of fasting. All the other benefits in its place, but if the person at the end of the month hasn't obtained taqwa in his life, then he has wasted his good time. The mufti will still give the fatwa that this person's fast is valid. If he abstained from food and drink and from carnal pleasures, then the mufti will give the fatwa that this person's fast was valid. He doesn't have to keep qaza. But in the sight of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and according to the hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam, he has gained nothing. مَنْ لَمْ يَدَعْ قَوْلَ الزُّورِ وَالْعَمَلَ بِهِ فَلَيْسَ لِلَّهِ حَاجَةٌ أَنْ يَدَعَ طُعَامَهُ وَشَرَابًا. The person who does not give up lies and practicing upon those lies, then Allah ta'ala is not in need of this person giving up his food and drink. So we were talking about the hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, in which Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that then Allah ta'ala is not in need of that person giving up his food and drink. In other words, if he does not change his lifestyle, he does not give up lies, does not give up taking false oaths and qasams, he does not give up stealing, he does not give up backbiting, he does not give up cheating, he does not give up all the other haram, then Allah ta'ala is not in need of this person's giving up his food and drink. How will that help Allah in any way? Who is the one that really provides for us the food and the drink and everything else? Allah Ta'ala is the one who is providing. Now that little food, if we are going to give up, how will it help and assist Allah Ta'ala? Allah Ta'ala has got a purpose behind making this fast obligatory. Now from day one of Ramadan, the person seems to be listening to stories of adultery and rape and fornication and stealing and fraud and crime and violence and so many things in the Muslim community. Even this morning, a person phones that so-and-so is involved with so-and-so and all the other details. And please, Mawla, if you can speak to him. And it's giving me a great amount of doubt now with regards, this is what this is. It's giving doubts now. With so many people are saying that. The other night also somebody phoned and said that this is what my husband is doing. And I caught him out on the second night of Ramadan. So it's creating doubt on that hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam that the evil shayateen are chained in Ramadan. The shaitans are chained, it's causing a doubt, na'uzu billah. How can he be doing this in Ramadan if the shaitans are chained? So I explain this, that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala chains the evil shayateen. But in the 11 months of the year, the person forms a habit. A habit is formed when you do bad deeds and bad actions, then it forms a habit. Just as you, when you are reading namaz, you are giving charities, you are doing other good deeds, you are reading tasbih, making zikr, tilawat. Somebody is in the habit of making tilawat after Fajr Salat, one para of the Quran Sharif he is reading. It becomes his habit. After that, he could be doing a lot of wrong things, but it is his habit to read the Quran Sharif in the morning. He won't go to work until he has read the Quran Sharif. So like that, the bad habits also are formed. In the 11 months, the person is practicing on those evil deeds and actions. So it has become a habit. So this habit then continues in the month of Ramadan, unless he makes sincere tawbah. In other words, his nafs is still open. The doors of his nafs are still open. Nafs is not chained, our nafs is with us. There are two things that mislead us and misdirect us. One is our nafs-e-ammara. Inna nafsala ammaratum bisu. The nafs, it always goads you, encourages you towards you, that which is haram, which is forbidden, which is evil. It's a nafs ammara. So that nafs is still with everybody. In the month of Ramadan, that nafs hasn't died. It's not dead. So shaitan is chained. But what about the company of the nafs that we still have? So shaitan gave that boost. Like that spaceship, the boost has been given. After that, the spaceship is moving on its own. So just like that, shaitan gives us that boot and that kick and that boost. Then in the month of Ramadan also we continue with those same evil actions and deeds. So the hadith is correct in its place. We must have absolutely no doubt in it. Yes, we must put our feet very strongly on nafs. Then we will get there by Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So in the month of Ramadan, if the person is just giving up his food and drink, then Allah Ta'ala is not in need of that. Allah Ta'ala wants to see this person discipline himself, restrain himself from everything that is forbidden and haram. And not only that he performs 5 times salat, or only keeps fast. That fast also has to be kept in the manner that has been instructed and directed by Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So if the person is going to fulfill the obligations that go with the fast, then he will see the noor of that fast. For generating electricity, for generating light, there are conditions. It's not that you just put on some electrical equipment and you just put on some fluorescent tubes and some lighting and put some plugs and switch it on and it will come on. There has to be a connection with the powerhouse. In the same way here, we have to develop this connection with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. We have to fast as Allah and His Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam have instructed. Then we will definitely see that noor in our hearts. We will experience it. There will be a transformation in our lives. There will be a change. It will become easy to give up all the sins. After that, the person, it will become difficult for him to commit sins. Take a person who is a 5-time namazi. He is a 5-time namazi. And you tell that person that I will give you $1,000,000, but don't perform your Isha Salat. Tonight, without performing your Isha Salat, go to sleep. Don't make it. Make it qaza. Now, if that person has got some iman, some yaqeen, and is a 5-time namazi, and he is performing Salat also for the sake of the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala, and is not one of those who bargains and sells his iman, so then he will say, even if you give me all the wealth of the world, I'm not going to forego my one Salat. Now, what is that? That shows that that person has got some kind of love in his heart for that salat, and he's got some connection with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So Allah ta'ala wants to see this person give up all sins and become connected with him so that he gets wilayat, so that he becomes the wali of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And this taqwa will then bring him all the other benefits. When he's going to become muttaqi, then وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. Now this is another ayat that you will hear repeatedly in the month of Ramadan, that the person who fears Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, that means he fears the displeasure of Allah ta'ala, and he restrains himself from haram. And especially in this Mubarak month, when we are giving up food and drink which is halal, solely because Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has prohibited it from dawn to sun, from subuh sadiq to sunset, we are giving it up just for that reason, no other reason. And again, I can't help but repeat that example, because it definitely has an impact on many hearts. That if you have to take the iftar time, at iftar time there's everything that's on the dastarkhan. The person has got his samosas and his bhajiyas and his custard and faluda and everything, and he's got his cold drinks. And he's very, very hungry also, and very, very thirsty too. It's a long day, it's a hot summer day. And at the time of iftar, just 3 minutes before the iftar, even if all the muftis of the world have to say that, now you all can open your fast, because you have already observed the fast for 18 hours or 17 hours, and just 3 minutes will not make any difference to that fast. All the benefits that you would have acquired in fasting, you have now got that benefit, now you can open your fast. Even the person with the weakest iman is not going to open his fast. He too will say that, no, it is the hukam of my Allah. It is my Allah's hukam. It is His order. It is Rasulullah's instruction. The fast must only be opened after sunset. The sun hasn't set, there's still 3 minutes to go, so I cannot open my fast. Now how strong we become, just for that 3 minutes we will fight with that person. We'll say, how can you ever give me an order and instruction which is against the command of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala? Who are you to give me that instruction? The authority of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala must be obeyed and not you. Now how strong we become in our iman just for that 3 minutes. So is it not the hukam of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala that we must not speak lies, that we must not commit adultery, that we must not commit fornication, that we must not steal, that we must not gamble, that we must not backbite, that we must fast, that we must stay away from haram? All those hukams of Allah Ta'ala, they are also orders of Allah Ta'ala. So if shaitan and nafs are ordering us otherwise, then we must address that shaitan and address that nafs and say that, who are you to order me? It is my Allah's hukam that I must do this or I mustn't do that. So this fast is disciplining us, it is training us. But if we are not going to take lessons from that fast, then it will be just abstinence from food and drink. And Allah Ta'ala is not in need of that. We are not going to benefit Allah Ta'ala in any way if we are going to give up our food and drink. So, وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيَرْزُقُهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبُ. The person who will adopt taqwa, the person who will fear Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, the person who will restrain himself from haram, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala himself says, يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. Allah Ta'ala will find a way out for that person in all his problems. Allah Ta'ala will find a way out. The difficulties, the problems that we experience in our lives, Allah Ta'ala is the one who sends it, either as an azab or as a test. One of the two things, it's coming to forgive, for the forgiveness of our sins. It is coming for elevation of status and position, like for the Anbiya. And for the pious and the righteous ones, it is to elevate their position and status. And for sinful ones like us, it's forgiveness of sins. Oh, Allah Ta'ala is sending it as a test. He wants to give us something better in return. But when we are in problems, when we are in difficulties, when we are in hardship, then we have to turn towards Allah Ta'ala and ask Him for a way out of those problems. Now Allah Ta'ala says that if you're going to develop taqwa in your hearts, I will definitely find a way out for you. And I will provide for you sustenance from sources unknown to you. وَيَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبْ. Allah Ta'ala will provide for them from places where the person will not even imagine that his sustenance is going to come. If he's got taqwa. And the taqwa is not only in namaz. The taqwa is not only in the masjid. The taqwa is not only in Ka'batullah Sharif. Or in the Haram Sharif or Masjid Nabawi alayhi salatu wasalam or Masjid Al-Aqsa. That taqwa is in the bazaars, in the marketplaces, in our shops, in our businesses, in our factories, in our colleges, in our universities, wherever we are. Jo karta hai tu chupke ahle jahan se, koi dekhta hai tujhe aasman se. The person believes that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is watching, and he is accountable for his deeds and actions, and he restrains himself. He takes that pain on his heart, and this is what we are not prepared to do. We are not prepared to take that pain of giving up sins. We want to go with the trends. We want to flow with the waters. And then what happens after that is suffering. One very poor person, in those days Makkah Sharif was not developed like it is today. It wasn't such a big city and there was plenty of poverty and starvation and everything there. Now this poor person, he went to Makkah Sharif. And he had plenty of money. Ibn Rajab rahmatullah alayhi and others have mentioned this incident. He had plenty of money. But whether it got stolen, whatever happened, now he had nothing left. He was poverty stricken. Starvation began overcoming him. And in this state it so happened that whilst he was walking, he found a very, very expensive necklace. A very valuable and an expensive priceless necklace he found. So he picked it up, he put it in his pocket, and he was going towards the Haram Sharif. So whilst he was going to the Haram Sharif, a person is announcing, is there any person who has found a necklace? And he was making this announcement. So this person, he said that he asked him for the description of the necklace. When the description was given, it was fitting the description. It was exactly the same necklace. So he took it out and he gave it to him. He didn't even ask him any reward in return. And the only thing he made was a dua. He said, Ya Allah, it is out of your fear that I have returned this necklace to the one who, whom it belongs. You provide for me from your treasures. And I don't want any return on this deed of mine from him, because it was belonging to him and I returned it to him. So what must I ask for return on it? So from there he proceeded. He somehow reached Jeddah, and from there he took a small boat. Now that boat was lashed by storms and it landed on some kind of an island. At that island there, now he finds that there is a small community there, but they are ignorant, they are illiterate. They don't even know how to read the Quran Sharif. When he began to read the Quran Sharif, they asked him, so you're reading Quran Sharif? He said, yes. So can you teach our children Quran Sharif? He said, yes. So he started performing the namaz and teaching Quran Sharif. Then they started teaching them how to write. So that service that he rendered, they gave him some food and some place to live. And then they saw that he's a pious person, he's a namazi and he's learned. So they told him that there's an orphan girl, a girl that has been orphaned. Her father was a very pious person. And he has, so this daughter, we want her to get married to somebody. And we find you to be a pious person, so would you accept this daughter in your marriage? So he said, well, why not? As it is, he had no wife. And he had landed there by circumstances, so he accepted. So the nikah took place. And then he mentions that the first night when he looked, he saw around her neck that same necklace that he had returned to that man in Makkah Sharif. So he asked her, where did you get this necklace from? She said, this necklace, my father used to always make dua. Said that there was a very honest and truthful person that I met in Makkah Sharif. When I had lost the necklace, so this truthful and honest person, he returned it to me. And he didn't even ask me anything in return. So my father used to always make dua, that Ya Allah, whenever you send a proposal for my daughter, let that person who comes with that proposal, or let that prospective bridegroom, be a person who has that same characteristics as that pious person and honest person and truthful person that I met in Makkah Sharif. So he said that I was that person that gave your father that necklace. I was the one that returned that necklace. So there are many incidents of this kind. Many, many incidents. Now just look at it. His honesty, his truthfulness, his taqwa. Now how Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala now provided for him. That he got that girl in marriage. He got that, and whatever he had left behind as inheritance for his daughter, all that also now became part of his family. So taqwa is something Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has promised great deal on it. It is very sad that even in the month of Ramadan, people will hasten towards that which is haram. Any deal, any kind of deal, whether it is halal or haram, as long as it comes. We have become so greedy that whether our namazes go or whatever happens is of no concern. Our only concern is that our tills must ring. But then Allah Ta'ala also knows how to take away. Allah Ta'ala knows how to snatch away. Allah Ta'ala knows how to pull the carpet from under the feet, or how to make that person's life miserable in that same earning of his. Plentiful of earning, but Allah Ta'ala makes the life miserable. There's no happiness. Go and look around into the lives of people. There's no happiness. There's just no contentment. There's no satisfaction. The person does not even know sometimes what is he working for. Day and night, there's just one chase. Material wealth is necessary. We cannot build masjids without wealth. We cannot go for hajj without wealth. We cannot make jihad without wealth. We cannot do so many things without wealth. Our wives, our children, they need groceries and food and clothing and shelter. There's a great need for wealth. Therefore Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is asking us to seek from him. Rizq halal, we must seek from him. And if Allah ta'ala makes a person multi-rich, it's not a problem. As long as it is acquired properly, the person is fulfilling the rights and duties and obligations towards Allah ta'ala and his creation, then he can still be a wali of Allah ta'ala. But in our case, it is not that. The moment the wealth starts coming in, then we become more and more negligent, more and more negligent. Therefore, in the Zikr Majlis, I always read that poetry now. Hawa wo hirs wala dil badal de. Hawa wo hirs wala dil badal de. Mera ghaflat mein dooba dil badal de. Badal de dil ki dunya dil badal de. Khuda ya fazl farma dil badal de. Khuda ya fazl farma dil badal de. Oh Allah, change this heart of mine, which is full of greed and full of evil passions and desires. It is leading us to so much of misery, so much of problems, so much of difficulties. And throughout the world, the Muslim Ummah is suffering because of this hawa and hirs, evil passions and greed. All the others are eggs of the same hen. If you look at all the other things, they are the eggs of the same hen, hawa and hirs. So this Mubarak month Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has blessed us with. Let us believe in what Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says, that if you are going to develop taqwa in your lives, stay away from haram. Then Allah Ta'ala will definitely find a way out in your problems, and Allah Ta'ala will provide from sources unknown. Customers will come from places unknown. And if the person is sinful and is getting an increase in material wealth, despite his disobedience to Allah Ta'ala, then that is istidraj. Istidraj means that the person will now progress. He will grow and he will grow and he will grow, until finally he will meet his doom. Allah Ta'ala will allow him to grow. That's istidraj. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, that's when he recited that ayat of the Quran Sharif also, that if you see a person being blessed with plentiful, despite his disobedience to Allah Ta'ala, then that is istidraj. فَلَمَّا نَسُوا مَا ذُكِّرُوا بِهِ. When they forgot to heed those advices that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala had given, then Allah Ta'ala opened the doors of all good. They started getting plentiful. Until when they were in the midst of their enjoyment and happiness, Allah Ta'ala called them to account suddenly, and they were thrown into bewilderment. May Allah Ta'ala protect us and save us. May Allah Ta'ala bless us with the best of dunya and akhirat. May Allah Ta'ala make this Ramadan a Ramadan that will be full of virtue, full of benefit, full of barakat, full of rahmat, full of mercy, full of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's kindness. And let us make it, as I always say, every Ramadan, the mother of all Ramadans. Stay away from haram. Spend as less time as possible in chit-chat, in idle talk. In fact, don't indulge in idle talk. Spend whatever time we have left after going to business and other activities that are necessary. Spend it in the masjid or at home, read some Quran Sharif, make some zikr, or go to sleep. But don't engage in ghibat, backbiting, playing cards, watching television, reading all the newspapers from A to Z. Now in this month of Ramadan, we should curtail all those things. Then we will find some noor in the heart. And when the noor will come, then it will also bring surur in the heart. Happiness, contentment, peace. May Allah Ta'ala remove the difficulties, hardships and problems of the entire ummah around the globe. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.